Good morning, Northern Michigan, and welcome to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Just for your information, the Q100 crew will be live at Odawa Casino from 3 to 6 tomorrow doing the Tournament of Rock draft, and it's going to be a blast. So if you're anywhere near there, you should show up. We're going to be giving away some stuff, and the hijinks and shenanigans should be at an all-time high. I am live in studio with two guys that won't be there tomorrow, which is Keith Gabe.
But we'll be listening because those things are fun.
Yeah.
Keith Gabe and Rich Calkins are live in studio with me. And, guys, last night we saw what the Pistons can be, or the beginnings of what the Pistons can be. Yes, you know, Rich and I were talking briefly about a couple of the players that weren't on the league-leading Cavaliers on the floor last night. But this Piston team beat the Celtics, who right now look like they could be in the NBA Finals.
Right.
They destroyed the Nets last night. But the Pistons, Bagley looked good. Rich,
yeah.
I know you were watching.
I was, absolutely. You know, and Cade Cunningham continues to mature right before our eyes. And this Bagley kid that was the number two overall pick like 3 years ago, he's got length, he's athletic. He goes to the hole. He gives them a little bit of rim protection, which this team sorely needs, Keith, because guys have been driving like crazy to the hole. So with Bagley, at least you have a little bit of rim protection, and it was just good to see this team mature and now winning tight ball games.
Yeah, you mentioned Cunningham starting to get a lot of love around the league as the best rookie right now, after a season full of injuries. 17 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists last night. And you mentioned Marvin Bagley, 16 points last night, along with Jeremy Grant. He seems to fit nicely with this group, JC.
Well, I thought that would be the case. And, you know, Grant's been out for what Grant missed 25
right.
games.
Right.
They didn't trade him. He's, actually his cap number is going to be pretty decent with them next year, Rich. And, Killian Hayes played a game. He only took two shots.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I don't think he's not a good shooter. But he fit into the plan. Cade Cunningham was the rising star MVP.
He was.
So on
during
Friday
All-Star
night.
Week, yeah.
Right. Right.
And so that's one of the reasons why I bet on the Pistons last night. That was my bet of the day.
That was a good pick.
Yeah. Well, what can you say? They've dumped
Don't
me
hurt
down.
Your arm,
they've let me down more than they haven't, you know. But I did win with them on the Celtics. That was just a guess. The Celtics were on an 8-game winning streak,
yeah.
And the Pistons were on a 9-game losing streak.
That was impressive.
Yeah. So, I was hoping that the Pistons we talked about this last week, guys, about having a couple days off around the All-Star break,
yep.
Getting a chance to play together.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be a good thing. I mean, when I turned the game on, because I was coming back from Traverse City, didn't look that way, and then they went on that, 14-2 spurt,
yeah.
and took it over. And, you know, there was a pretty decent crowd at the LCA last night, and they were into it.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, they got the chance going later in the game, and it was very cool to hear, you know, because, again, we haven't had great crowds for basketball games since they went there. But, speaking of Killian Hayes, he's got length.
He
defends well. You know,
he's a little bit like Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He's not a shooter.
No.
You know, but, and I don't think he should shoot. They don't need him to shoot. They've got scorers on the squad. You know, Bay can score it. Cunningham can score it. Grant can score it. We'll see what Bagley can do. I mean, obviously he's not Joel Embiid.
No. He's not.
But Joel Embiid was the fourth pick in that draft, and Marvin Bagley was the second. So he has not lived up to his Duke expectations. You know, the one thing that's a little troubling to me, and maybe it's just the way he plays. Some guys are like this. Kevin Durant's a little bit like this. Cade Cunningham doesn't look excited about basketball. You know, he just kind of moved, I compared him to Larry Bird because he can do a lot of different things, kind but he's so low-key, it kind of drives me a little scary.
Yeah, you want to see his motor revved up a little bit more. Yeah, I get you.
But, you know...
Because that can be mistaken for not caring, you know what I mean, when you see that. Because, like, you love to see guys that are into it, you know, and you can tell. But he's so calm, cool, and collected. You're wondering, like, is the heart rate going a little bit at all? I mean,
that serves him well in some parts of the game, though. I mean, last night he got more than half his points at the free throw line. Yeah. 9 for 10. And this team, the Pistons, won the game at the free throw line. They were 25-28. That's what drives me nuts most about NBA basketball players. They should all be 90% free throw shooters.
Well,
90% is hard.
90% is hard.
No, 90% is hard.
Yep.
But there have been some NBA players. You know, George Gervin was pretty laid back. Like I said, Kevin Durant for the most part, pretty laid back.
Yep.
Steph Curry, is laid back, but he does his dances and everything else.
He does.
And he's a little cocky, but you never see him. You know, shaking his fist and doing the things that get the crowd pumped up. But, you know, I think this whole thing is a work in process. Maybe the Pistons could turn it around, you know, win 60-75% of the games that they got left on their schedule and, you know, give us a little look at what we saw last year with an improved, more talented roster.
And they're just going to get a little bit younger. They're going to get a decent draft pick.
Oh, God, yeah.
So they're just going to get younger, and this team just needs to play together more. And they're so much better right now than they were earlier in the year.
I mean, they're going to have between the second and fifth most balls in the lottery.
Right.
So, they'll probably end up with somewhere along, like, the worst pick they could get is number 7. So, I mean, there's a ton of good college basketball players coming out because, like I told you guys before we went on the air, college basketball is getting amazing right now. I mean, just I could not keep up with all the action in the top 25, games that mattered, teams on the bubble playing their hearts out.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing I love most about college basketball, Keith. You talk about, you know, making free throws and caring and everything else. These kids play so hard, and the coaches are coaching so hard. I mean, that's part of, you know, what happened to Juwan Howard. Danny Hurley got tossed out of this game.
For revving up the crowd.
Yeah,
that was a horrible call. Horrible.
And what's his name from Illinois did the same thing, you know, after he got his two teams.
That's college basketball.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, there's no room for taking a swipe at some guy's head, and I'd really like to know what that Krablot said, because he said something.
No question.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
No
question. And you know what? And he's never said anything, and, you know, Greg Gard, even if I've got my Wisconsin sweater on, he could bite my ass. He started that fight. That is an unwritten law.
They were both real. He was super petty.
I'm talking about stopping Juwan
Howard. Oh, yeah. When you know he didn't want to talk.
Coaches do that all the time. You see it all the time. They give you, they call it the dead fish. And he knew it.
Yeah.
And you heard it ad nauseum from the guys that really know basketball about, you know, you could talk about it on the phone tomorrow. But it was a bad look. There's no doubt about it.
It was a really bad look.
Yeah. That's
the Wisconsin basketball traditional. I don't care who coaches that team. They've been dirty for a long time. The way they play, the way they act.
Yeah, it's the Jerry Coyne squad, man. I mean, you know, generally speaking, Wisconsin basketball has one or two extremely talented players, and the rest of them are muckers.
That's right.
They are. Yep. Father, that's the way I played. Yeah. You know, it's a lot of white kids that don't have explosive athleticism.
A lot of cheap shots down low with the knee-to-knee hits and stepping on feet on purpose. They coach that stuff there, it seems like.
Right. Yeah. Like you said, JC, that was a horrible look for Michigan to have Juwan. You know, Juwan had that episode against Maryland, against Turgeon, you know, when he told him he was going to effing kill him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was last year.
Mark Turgeon's out of basketball.
Yeah. He is.
So, you know... look at, you know, there's a ton of psychology that goes into coaching college basketball, because it's not, you're not pros. You know, some teams are going to be inherently way more talented than you, and there's different ways to stay in the ball game, and most of it is surrounded around coaching.
Yeah, and you're dealing with 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, immensely talented, who've been fed a line since they were 12 years old, and they're hard to reach. Their heads in the clouds most of the time. I agree. Psychology is just as important as the X's and O's.
Well, I think you've got it a little backwards. You've got some of these kids are talented, some of them are not. I mean, take a look at some of these.
But they all think they are.
No. That's not, I don't agree with that at all. If you think that everybody in D1 basketball thinks they're going to the NBA, you're wrong.
Oh, no, I didn't say that.
Okay. So, but what I'm saying is the psychology of the coaching is the indoctrination. College players are indoctrinated. They drink the Kool-Aid. When they go off to the pros, they're not drinking the Kool-Aid. They're drinking Cristal, and the most part, they tune their coaches out.
Yep.
That's where the difference between the NBA and college is, you know, the coaches that are fantastic, the Chuck Daly's of the world, knew how to deal with these guys. In college, the kids are drinking the Kool-Aid.
One of my favorite examples of that, a guy I immensely respect, John Boeheim, was outstanding at Michigan, and before that, West Virginia. He went to Cleveland to coach the Cavaliers. He lasted, a year and a half?
No. Lasted half than a year. He didn't make it out.
He didn't make it one full year.
He didn't make it through 1 year. See, that's just,
he was out in March.
That's sad to me.
6 months that he was at the.
Yeah.
But Boeheim purposely recruited kids he didn't have superstars.
Right.
You know, Juwan Howard can handle superstars. Boeheim didn't want them.
Right.
Tom Izzo has kind of walked that line. How many one and dones has Izzo had?
Not enough.
Zero.
Zero? Oh, he has.
Name a one and done that Izzo's had. Actually, he has.
Jason Richardson.
Who was that tall kid from Muskegon that one year?
Okay. No. The kid who's playing great at Memphis now, Jaren Jackson,
it was a one and done.
I think he's maybe had two.
Yeah, not very many.
It's not like, you know, it takes a special breed. Look, at Calipari can handle those guys. Coach K has accepted the fact that he needed to.
Right.
But those one and dones don't act like they're one and dones when they're at Duke. I mean, even Zion was buying the Kool-Aid, right?
Right.
Now look at what's happened to him.
That is
absolutely just disappeared off the face of the earth.
New Orleans is going to have to sell the franchise and get it out of there. I mean, Anthony Davis walked out of there. I wouldn't mind living in New Orleans and playing in the NBA. But
are you kidding me?
Jesus, I don't get it at all. It's fascinating. Here we are, pretty much tournament time already. Okay, there are so many teams that need to win their games before they're even heading into the Big Ten tournament. We've talked about it. Michigan State is spiraling the drain.
You talked about how exciting college basketball is. I see everywhere except East Lansing. I mean, what a mess that is. Rich, you were saying before we came on the air that that people are talking about nine teams from the Big Ten. I don't see how Michigan State's going to make this tournament the way they're playing right now.
Well, according to Izzo, they had a great practice, and who do they have on Saturday?
Purdue.
Yeah.
They're going to lose by 25 again.
Well, we've been talking about this for 2 months.
That's right.
Where is the leadership on this team?
Yep.
You know, last year, what was the kid? Aaron Henry, right? Just took over, and that has been State's M.O., the Cassius Winstons, and
somebody emerges at this time of year, but nobody has come close.
Look at the individual talent throughout the Big Ten, too. The Ivy kid at Purdue. You got Johnny Davis at Wisconsin. You got guys that are going to go they're both top 10 picks, I believe, in the draft. You have Kofi Coburn, the big man at Illinois.
They got beat up
by Ohio State
at home.
Oh, it's just this.
Well, they didn't get spanked, and you know, Colburn fouled out. The coach got thrown out of the game. I mean, in Ohio State, I had that game. I didn't think Ohio State would win, but they were getting 6.5, and Ohio State needed a win bad. I mean, this is what's happening in the league.
That's right.
You know, a lot of people, they don't have Colburn going in the projected drafts to like 17 or 18.
Well, I've seen him at 22.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, they don't like his big skill set as a big guy. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you're out of your mind. Okay, the NBA game is changing, and yeah, you'd love to have an Anthony Davis or Joel Embiid, Carl Anthony Towns, who won the three-point shooting. He's finally turned into the player that he's got. Look out for the Timberwolves, by the way. They're gonna get in like a sixth seed, and they handled Memphis last night, and Memphis is great.
Yeah, sure is.
I know you guys aren't nearly as big of NBA fans as I am. Michigan State's got Purdue, and then they got to go to Michigan.
Mm-hmm. That's two losses.
Well, yeah, I don't see how
two
they
losses.
Beat Michigan.
Nope,
at Michigan.
I don't either.
And then they got Ohio State. They might drop into.
Where is that game? Ohio State.
It's at Ohio State.
They'll lose that game too.
Maybe.
They're not going to make the tournament.
So that would put State in the bottom four. So they won't be playing on Wednesday, but that means they'll be playing Thursday. And 2 weeks ago, they were in the top four.
That's
the
correct.
League. Yeah,
that's correct.
I mean, Michigan and Michigan State could end up being the first game. In the Big Ten.
Oh,
tournament.
Man. Oh, could you imagine that?
The Big Ten won't be shy about doing that, but it's all seated on numbers and everything else. It's not like they can juice it.
Yeah.
But, it is. We're getting to basketball time, guys, and I couldn't be happier.
Speaking of, let's give the ladies a little bit of love. Michigan came back and bounced Michigan State last night. The Michigan women ranked number 6th in the country. They've been as high as number 4 when Michigan State beat them a couple of weeks ago. Michigan State went into Ann Arbor, and Michigan got its revenge, 62-51. Good for those ladies.
Yeah, they're a fun team to watch.
Ooh, they are.
They really are.
Yeah, the... I don't know if the state ladies are going to make. They're going to have a pretty big run in the women's tournament to get into the the NCAA.
They're not much above 500.
No. So. And there's some really good teams, and you know, just like the men's, you've got a great Indiana team, you've got a great Michigan team, you've got that Iowa Caitlin Clark who's pouring it on.
The biggest difference in the men's and women's game in college basketball is that the ranked teams.
Dominate.
They dominate. Yeah. They really dominate. There's not the kind of parity that we see.
And there's not, right. And it's not, top five women's teams will beat the a 20th ranked team by 40 points.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
That kind
That's
of right. stuff. I mean, they get blown out where you don't see that in the men's at all.
No, I mean, you know, the Big East used to be a huge hotbed. Mm. You know, 10, 15 years ago, it was the ACC and the Big East. The Big East is fantastic this year.
Yeah.
Providence is back on the scene. They're going to have 6 teams in the tournament. They'll have more teams. The Big East will have more teams in the tournament than the ACC will. And we've been talking about the SEC and the Big 12. I mean, there's just a ton of great games. Unfortunately, my Bruins lost last night to Oregon. Oregon really needed that game bad.
Did you bet that?
I did, but I wasn't counting on Juzang getting hurt.
Mm-hmm. That really hurt them, for sure.
And he's been hurt a few times. They need to get him healthy. You know, UCLA, I hate to say it, I don't think they have the size to make a tournament run. They'd have to shoot the ball incredibly well like they did. They just got hot. They made everything that
they did.
But
they were
that's why they lost last night. They were 4 for 26 from 3 points last night.
Yeah.
I mean, that just
you're just not going to win any game shooting like that.
They were a fun team to watch last night.
Oh, they were incredible.
And they've got everybody back. Yeah. I mean, they didn't lose anybody of substance. It's the same coach. It's the same everything. But, you know, teams, they haven't changed their offense much. So coaches, especially in the Pac-12, know how to defend them. So, you know, UCLA could make a run, especially if they win their first game in a tournament packet. Then you only get 24 hours to plan how to defend them.
Right.
But they don't have a ton of size. And there's a lot of teams out there that have big players.
Right.
And, it's going to be exciting.
Big schedule tomorrow. JC.
Of course, Saturday.
Saturday. I know where you'll be. I know where you'll be,
well,
but
be
I know what you'll be watching
you know.
on the big screens there. Number 4, Purdue at Michigan State at noon.
Right.
Number 6, Kentucky at number 18, Arkansas. Number 3, Auburn at number 10, number 17, Tennessee, the Bruce Pearl Bowl. Number 7, Duke at Syracuse. Number 13, Wisconsin at Rutgers. Watch out for Rutgers coming back.
Yeah, Ron Harper Jr. is back.
Yeah.
And, you know, they gave Michigan a lot to handle. And then
they
Houston got hot.
He did. He played really well.
We got number 1 Gonzaga and number 23 St. Mary's, and my favorite game of the weekend, Furman at Citadel. And if you read my losing season, you know what a
Citadel rivalry
yeah, that is.
That is one of the great sports books of all time. If you don't know that book, then you should read it.
It's the best memoir. That and Bruce Springsteen's book that you gave me, the Born to Run.
Hey, Dave
Grohl, a memoir.
Dave Grohl's got a fantastic book out now that you got to read. I think it's actually better than Springsteen's book. And
really?
You know how much I love that book. But Pat Conroy, one of the great American treasures. Didn't you name one of your dogs Conroy?
Conroy, yeah, that's my 5-year-old golden. But I just finished My Losing Season again, probably for the 3rd or 4th time. I like to read it during basketball season, and it gets me cranked up this time of year for the tournament. But you know, Pat Conroy just eviscerates himself in this book, and it's about his transition from point guard, captain of his college basketball team at Citadel, to being a writer, one of the greatest American writers of his generation.
Well, if you know the movie The Great Santini, that's Pat Conroy.
Yep.
I tell you about his dad being a hyper-intensive parent of an athlete.
Wife-beater, child-beater, and he killed his father in his book.
Yeah.
Wow.
You get him,
yeah,
or I'll get you.
Yes, right.
You put him down, or you don't come home. You're screaming at him at the high school gym during a game.
Yeah.
And in factual circumstances.
And smack him around in the hallway right after
Robert
a game.
Yeah, Robert Duvall, fantastic as the Marine pilot.
He?
Oh, yeah, it's a great, great film. We never had that in our sports movie pool, but we could have snuck it in there.
Yeah, should have. You're right. You're right.
When we return here on Friday Face-Off, we will talk some hockey, not only NHL, but we're going to have one of the captains from Guns N' Roses, the big charity event happening tomorrow night at Center Ice. Guys, but, you know, you add not just a little excitement. To me, you're adding so much more excitement to your sports watching experience and make every moment more by betting on all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook. There are lots of reasons why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. The app is simple to use because you can do it while the game is on. They've got great odds on all different betting markets, unique, fun bet types like same-game parlays, and exclusive always-on promotion like enhanced odds boost on the biggest events.
FanDuel lets you get more action out of every game. Right now, you can place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Just place a bet on any game, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 in site credit if you don't win.
What are you waiting for? Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and get started, and sign up with the promo code WGRY so they know I sent you. 21 and over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. Refund issued with non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
Back after these words from our fine partners on Up North Sports Radio's Friday Face-Off. Welcome back to Friday Face-Off here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Be there tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock because we'll be there. Or not these guys, but I will. Keith Gabe and Rich Calkins are live in studio. And, Keith, you know, I really thought the Wings would put up a bigger fight against the Avalanche. The Avalanche were coming off, 6 games on the road. The Wings hadn't played, and they cost me some money.
The Avalanche are the best team in the NHL right now. And the odds on favorite by everybody right now to win the Stanley Cup this spring. They are a really, really good team. And they're not getting tremendous goaltending, but they're still finding ways to win. Extremely talented. The Wings are in the midst of their toughest 7-game stretch of the season. And it started with a 7-4 loss at Minnesota. Then they got a shootout win against the New York Rangers. Then a 5-2 loss against Colorado. Now their three-game homestand continues with Toronto visiting on Saturday, Carolina on Tuesday. Then they finish their murderer's row of games in Florida next Friday at Tampa Bay and Saturday at Florida. Those, by the way, are the seven best teams in the NHL, and the Wings are playing them right in a row.
Isn't that incredible how that scheduling anomaly happens like that?
They've got to find a way to win some games, and frankly, look, they're 23-23-6, 552 points, good for them, improvement from last year. They're 10 points out of a wild card berth with 30 games to go. If you figure that they need at least 95 points to make the playoffs, and that might not even be enough.
Wow.
But 95 points, that means...
Really?
That's unheard of.
That means they're going to need 43 points in their last 30 games, which means they got to go something like 27-3. 20 wins, 7 losses, and 3 to get to 43 points, to get to 95 points, and make the playoffs. Listen, they're giving us a good season.
They are.
I don't expect this to happen. But these next handful of games are going to be really fun to watch against very good hockey teams.
Now, Zadina got a big goal the other night, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and he needs some confidence.
He's been playing on the top line, and frankly, hasn't shown me a heck of a lot. I mean, that play was made by Moritz Seider. If you saw that play, he's breaking in by himself. Did he shoot it hard? Did he try and pick a corner? No. You know what he did? And Mickey said it right after I did. I'm watching with my wife. He actually shot the... It was a soft shot
right
into the goaltender's pads. It bounced off the pads. It was a juicy rebound for Zadina to bury, but it was it looked to me like a set play by the rookie defenseman to shoot to get the rebound
right
for the player trailing. You just don't see that kind of play hardly ever in the NHL, but from a rookie especially. Are you kidding? 20 years old?
And that's what Mickey Redman constantly talks about, is the maturity level of this, you know, of what Mo Seider is all about. The kid, he plays like he's a 10-year vet. I mean, he's just so smart with the puck.
He does.
He just does. And again, he's got that incredible reach, you know, where he can keep the puck away from players that try to defend him and all. He's so fun to watch.
I got
to
say, I was wrong about that. I kept saying at the beginning, you know, let's be careful about this kid. Let's not expect too much, you know, because it is defense. It is the NHL. He's playing against men, and it far exceeded anything I could have expected from this kid. And, you know, Rich, as good as he is now, wait till he grows into that body. You know, that's 6'3", wait till he puts on 20 pounds.
Because he's not afraid to use his body right now. He does. I mean, just like you said, when he puts on 25 pounds of muscle, because he's a young kid still, and he hasn't gotten his man body yet, but he's going to be an absolute fierce competitor out there. And remember when Steve Yzerman drafted him, most people that didn't know it are like, who? Who's this guy you're drafting?
They sure do. If he doesn't win Rookie of the Year, then I'm gonna divorce all my brethren in the Professional Hockey Writers Association, because they don't have a clue if they don't vote him Rookie of the Year. Listen, one thing we got to keep in mind with the NHL is the trade deadline is coming up about 3-plus weeks away, March 21st at 3 p.m. And in my view, it looks like Yzerman's probably going to make a couple of trades to acquire assets again. Probably Nick Leddy, the defenseman, has some value to a lot of teams out there looking for depth defense. And as much as I hate to say this, Vladislav Domestnikov, you know, is a good versatile forward.
Yes,
I think you know, he could be shopped around a little bit. He's a free agent at the this summer. It wouldn't surprise me if Yzerman traded him and then signed him this summer and brought him back. I have never seen a player like this kid Domestnikov, who's Slava Kozlov's nephew, by the way, more proud to wear that jersey. If you notice, whenever he scores a goal, he takes his shirt, you know, and he points to
the
logo on the front of his jersey. He loves playing for this team, and I like seeing that.
That's very cool to see someone do that, Keith, for sure.
Keith, you're right. A lot's going to be told about this team. You know, we've talked about at the beginning of the year, do the Wings have enough to maybe make it back into the playoffs and this and that. So, yeah, they have the toughest schedule in the league, but beating the teams that they would end up playing in the playoffs – at least some of the time is going to tell Yzerman a lot.
Yes.
I mean, they could get their asses waxed in every single game like they did the other night against Colorado, and then you go, well, how far away are we?
Oh, no, that's right. That's right. This is the litmus test for sure.
Yeah.
One last final sort of hockey note. You know, there's a war going on now, a ground war in Europe, the biggest war we've seen in a long, long time. But the European Union has sanctioned our buddy, Hockey Hall of Famer Vyacheslav Patisov, Slava Patisov. He's among 351 Russian state Duma representatives. The Duma is their parliament, right?
Okay.
And Patisov is like a senator in the parliament. So he is unable to travel to EU countries, and his assets in those countries, if he has any, have been frozen. I can't say for sure, but I'll bet he's facing the same sanctions from the United States of America, our buddy Slava Patisov.
Right.
That's... And there's lots more to talk about that, There are a lot of Russian players in the NHL. There's some Ukrainian players. Svi Mykhailiuk, the former Pistons, is a Ukrainian kid, you know, who's had a lot to say about his country being invaded now and so on. It's coming home.
Well, speaking of hockey coming home, we've been talking about the big charity event happening tomorrow night at Center Ice, Guns and Hoses. And I've got Zach Root on the phone, who is the team captain for our policemen. How are you, Zach?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Now, I'm sorry, what is the team name? I know the firemen are Team Fire. You are what?
It's just Team Police. You know, hopefully the winners this year.
Well, that's creative.
The Team Police. Yeah, we love this event, Zach, so thanks for taking time out. I hope you're not on patrol.
I believe it or not, I am.
All right, where do I get my get-out-of-jail-free card? I need one of those right away.
You know, they stopped handing those out a couple of years ago. Maybe, you know, you guys pump up Team Police here this year. I might be able to find you one or two.
That sounds good.
So, Zach, tell us a little bit about Guns and Hoses.
So, you know, this event has been going on for quite some time. I've been with the Sheriff's Department up here now for 10 years. I'm a transplant from downstate. And Tony Posey, the captain of Team Fire, has just done an amazing job at growing this event. You know, it really has nothing to do with, you know, the old guys on the ice playing. It has to do with community and supporting your community. And it's just a platform that has grown and grown over the years, and I'm very proud to be a part of it. The little part that I am a part of, it's just a great event, and it shows what a strong community we have here in Northern Michigan.
It's, you know, it's a little bit of an offshoot of the FDNY NYPD, which is brutal.
Zach, where are you from downstate?
Kalamazoo originally.
Oh, okay. They play a little hockey over there.
You think?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, lots of hockey.
Did you play high school hockey by any chance, Zach?
You know, I did not. I grew up playing for the Kalamazoo Wings in my younger days, and the West Michigan Warriors, which is now, I don't even know what they're called anymore, I should. And then I played over in Detroit for CompuWare, Victory Honda. Then I moved out west for a season and played some junior hockey out in Montana.
Oh, good for you. Yeah, my kids. My kids play both skated high level AAA travel. It's a lot of fun and very expensive on your parents.
I'm glad. You know, my son likes baseball and basketball. Yeah. save a couple bucks.
So you mentioned earlier, you guys have lost the last couple to Team Fire, huh?
We have. It's a little disappointing, but again, it's not about the wins or losses, you know. It's about what comes out of it, you know, in community. But this year we're hoping for a better turnout here. We got some secret weapons, you know.
Oh, good. Did you call in some ringers there, Zach?
You know, it's a lot of the guys who were part of this in years previous have retired or moved away. So we got some state troopers. Who are from the area, some from out of the area, and we're hoping they're going to push us over the hump this year.
Calling in the big guns.
I know it's for a worthy cause, but, you know, how often do you guys actually get to skate together? I mean, do you play other games as a unit or just this particular showcase?
For the majority of the guys, the ones that are local, we do have a combined cop and firefighter skate on Thursday nights. That's, you know, no refs. You know, we police ourselves. No pun intended.
No pun intended.
Yeah, call your own foul. Yeah.
But you know, the local guys, and that's just kind of a drop-in setting, and it's so we've played together, but organized lines, you know, offsides, penalties, and stuff. Nope, this is just kind of thrown together. You know, we start reaching out in fall and see if we can get some guys together. Some, again, I mentioned some are not from the area, so. You know, the first couple minutes might be a little choppy, but hopefully once we get the wheels going, you know, and we'll flow smoothly.
Yeah, and this is for a great cause. The family, the gentleman that you first started out with the charity, is back in chemo. We were trying to get a hold of him to have him on, and now his daughter has got some serious medical issues as well. So the cause couldn't be more important, Zach.
Absolutely. It's one of those things when we've had families, you know, out on the ice for the puck drop, you know, the ceremonial puck drop. It's very emotional, you know, and both, you know, firefighters, first responders, police officers get into this job, you know, to try and make a difference and help. And again, I can't say enough of what it's become over the years.
Yeah, it's a fantastic event. Tickets are still available. They're only $5, and all of the proceeds go to a very needy family in the area. I know you can buy tickets right now at the Cherry Festival office and at Center Ice in the hockey shop.
That is correct. Yes, sir.
And they will be available walk-up. I know the doors open at 6. There's a silent auction. And then the puck drops at 7 with the ceremony and everything else. But generally speaking, if you you know, if you get there at 7, you're probably not going to get a ticket.
It's, you know, especially with us taking a break last year with the pandemic and stuff, I'm hoping to see a full house. So, as you said, arrive early and get a good seat because I'm hoping to pack the place.
Yeah, and bring your checkbook. There's going to be some great silent auction items. I know there's some Red Wing stuff and all of it going to, like I said, a family very much in need.
Yes, sir.
Officer Zach Root from Team Police.
Thanks for doing what you're doing, Zach.
Yeah, thank you, Zach.
Thank you, gentlemen. You have a good day, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
All right. Go Team Police. Go Team Fire.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
All right. There you go, guys. A really cool event.
Oh, absolutely.
Awesome. Yeah.
Absolutely.
What a great call. So,
and I got to say, if people go see a game at Center Ice, all those seats are really,
oh, no, it's a great.
It's an intimate little rink. Lots of people. It's going to get loud, going to get noisy, probably boisterous. It'll be a fun crowd to be a part of.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So $5. Get them today. If you're anywhere near the Center Ice or downtown Traverse City, stop at the Cherry Festival office and pick up your tickets. Like I said, they're $5. Buy a few of them. Give them to your friends. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Q1 on Up North Sports Radio Friday Face-Off with a whole grab bag of things. But, you know, guys, we were just talking about hockey. And one of the things that I love about betting my favorite sports on FanDuel is I always find new player props or game props that I like on FanDuel Sportsbook. You can combine prop bets from multiple games and now even multiple sports. So I can combine a little NBA and NHL action. It's called Same Game Parlay Plus. You can only find it on FanDuel. Combine an NBA player prop with you love with your favorite NHL scorer. You could have grabbed some of that with the Rangers.
They
had 2 goals last night. For a chance to score even a bigger payout.
If you don't want to build your own same game parlay, check out their popular same game parlay section where you can join the bets other users are jumping on. 2 weeks ago, more than 14,000 customers won a total of $1.1 million. That's $1 million during the Bucks at Lakers game.
And if you're new to FanDuel, sign up with the promo code WGRY to get your first bet risk-free to up to $1,000. Make every moment more. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, too, and just use the promo code WGRY so they know I sent you.
Back after these words from our fine partners on Up North Sports Radio, Friday Face-Off. Welcome back to Friday Face-Off here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey, Jerry Coyne in studio with Rich Calkins and Keith Gavin. Keith, we're getting down to 0 hour for Major League Baseball. At least that's what they say.
That's what they say, JC. And I don't think we can believe a word that comes out of their mouths down the stretch here. I mean, the commissioner, Manfred, said yesterday, day before, Monday is our hard, firm deadline. If we don't have an agreement by Monday, we're going to start canceling games. The player said, baloney. We can always make up games, you know, as doubleheaders and so on.
Right.
When you start canceling games, you start losing money, about $20.5 million in pay to the players per day canceled. And guys like Max Scherzer, $233,000 a day for every day that's canceled. Garrett Cole, $193,000. Now those are the richest guys in the league, but they're still oceans apart. I don't know how they're going to get a deal done by Monday.
You know, they're not really oceans apart.
Oh.
As you continue to say every day on Game Update with J-Bo, billionaires arguing with multimillionaires, Major League Baseball, it has come up quite a bit. And we'll see if Tony Clark and Max Scherzer decide if a 6,000% pay increase
right.
for the first major leaguers, guys in their first contract, is enough money.
Yeah, what were you saying the dollar figures were, JC?
They went from what, 200, the minimum salary, Keith, you've got it in front of you. What was, what, two?
Yeah. It,
290. And Major League Baseball has already said we'll go to 650,
570 to 640 in 2022, raising by $10,000 annually to $680,000 by 2026. A significant increase. So
not enough for the players, though.
Not enough for the players. Players want $775 in 2022, incrementally going up $30,000 annually until they get to $895,000 by 2026. So the minimum salary would be close to $900,000 by 2026.
That's more than the NFL minimum.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
It is insane.
Sure. Sure, sure.
That is wild.
Yeah. You mentioned Scherzer and Tony Clark, but we got to add Scott Boras there, too. He's the one dangling the puppets on this thing, it feels like to me.
Yes.
Okay, so what about all these kids? You know, the Tigers, I don't know what I should have done my research. You're much better at this than I am, and I hate doing it off the seat of my pants. But how much have the Tigers paid in bonuses to the Torkelsons and the Riley Greens of the world?
Yeah.
Is that included in the salary? I mean, come on, give me a break. All of these guys, even Cody Clements, got a bonus to sign. So how does...
It's called bonuses because it's not salary. You know, there's a reason why.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, so a lot of these guys are making a hell of a lot more than the $200,000 or the $400,000 that they're fighting over.
Yeah, and the players' union is also fighting for a minimum salaries for minor league players as well. Right now, they want to raise to $63,200 for the first year minor leaguer, which is not bad money. $66,000 in 2023, all the way up to $73,400 by 2026. And for guys who've been in the minor leagues for a while, it ranges from $126,400. To $145,900, a little bit better pay for minor leaguers.
What are some of the things that they've actually agreed upon that they've come together on?
They've agreed to a universal DH.
Okay.
That's big. The players.
It's good for the players.
I agree.
It's hard to imagine that the American League has had the DH in 73, almost 50 years.
Yeah, they invented it basically for Frank Howard and Harmon Killebrew.
That's right.
Yeah.
And add another.
Remember those guys?
Add another job to every roster, and that's what they're doing.
I remember seeing Frank Howard because he was with the Tigers that year.
Yeah.
And
big
Frank. He would get thrown out at first base, hitting it into center field.
That's
all
right.
The time.
That's right.
Not even close.
That's right.
I mean,
he
made Willie Horton look like a speed demon.
Yeah.
He went to that Rusty Staub school of base running.
The players also.
Rusty Staub would beat Frank Howard running backwards.
He probably liked that.
why do you think I said it?
I forgot what I was going to
say. Grand Orange.
The whole card that the players have is that The Major League Baseball wants to expand the postseason playoffs. Could be worth $100 million a year minimum to the Major League Baseball if they expand the playoffs. The players are holding that as a bargaining chip. You want to cancel games? Then we're not going to expand the playoffs. I think we're going to see a 162-game schedule. It may be compressed. I don't think they're going to have a deal by Monday.
I think they will have a deal by Monday.
You think so?
I really do.
I hope you're right, Jason.
I mean, I know I'm an optimist addressed as a pessimist, but, especially since the fortunes for the Tigers look so good.
I know.
We'll get out of the gloom and doom and talk about some of the reports.
Yeah.
We should get Lynn Henning on and Larry Sorensen about – did you see what Sorensen had to say about Frank Beckman?
No, I did not.
Okay, you know Frank Beckman passed away.
Yes, yeah.
So Sorensen was Larry wrote the most eloquent tribute to Frank Beckman.
I have to look that up.
Yeah, it was really well done.
Yeah.
I had forgotten that Larry, he goes, I wouldn't know anything about casting if it weren't for Frank Beckman. And I know Frank a little bit. It's sad.
I spent a fair amount of time on the radio with Frank Beckman doing sports rap with WJR.
Great guy.
He was multi-sport, did a lot of different things
well. Man's man.
He was. And Larry, I worked with him at WDFN, the first sports station in Detroit, and he left us to go work with Frank Beckman doing radio when Bill Schembechler fired Ernie Harwell.
Oh, yeah.
If you remember that.
I do.
And I actually replaced Larry on the morning show at the
FN. Was it Schembechler that fired?
Oh, yeah.
Was
yeah.
it?
It was,
that
yeah.
Was
the, yeah, he was the GM then.
Inexplicable.
Yeah. Oh, it was. That's, it was
that,
like,
that, what? Well, Schembechler was not a baseball guy. But then Larry,
his first draft pick ever. Do you know who Bo Schembechler's first draft pick ever was?
I do not.
In baseball?
No.
Tony Clark.
Oh, well, see?
Just saying. He liked him because he had a football background. Clark was a two-sport athlete.
That's right.
Yeah, he played football and baseball at Arizona State. Yeah.
Well, anyways.
Talk about useless trivia.
And our buddy,
you never know.
Our buddy Larry, will be the first to admit that he drank himself out of that job at WJR. But I know. I'll look forward to reading what he said about Frank. I knew that he had a
good But anyways, I digress.
Well, that's important.
God bless Frank Beckman.
Yes.
He's the one, I told you guys that story, he's the one that told Kurt and myself the story about Ron Kramer at the White House.
Oh, really?
Fantastic story. But, Torkelson, people are just raving about Torkelson, like ready to go already, and maybe Green as well. So, we want to get that spring training open. They were talking about Jackson Jobe and the other pitcher.
The high school pitcher.
Yeah, so,
He's got very elite stuff, advanced stuff for a high school kid.
That's why they took him.
Yes.
There's always a big trepidation for taking a high school pitcher.
Oh,
but,
time.
The Tigers Brain Trust said from the very beginning, this kid is absolutely special.
Okay.
And so we'll see what happened. But the other kid struck out Torkelson, Green, and Digler on like 14 pitches.
That's incredible.
He can get up to 97 with a hard slider.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
So, get the camps open, goddammit. John, I'm going to drive to give me a ticket to Arizona and put me in that room. I can look Tony Clark eye to eye.
Are they in Arizona?
I don't know where the hell they are.
I think they're in Florida, actually. But
like you said, get it done so we can have some baseball.
Yeah. But, we've had enough of this, and every time it happens, you'd think they'd learn. I mean, when's the last time another one of our major sports has had a strike? I mean, the NHL.
Yeah.
That ugly-ass no-season NHL.
Yeah.
Well, again, and they literally will hold off spring until baseball starts. You can't have spring without baseball.
Nope, you
can't. It can't happen.
What bothers me is that we're in the 87th day of this lockout right now.
Yeah.
87th day.
And waited
and the owners, this has been their strategy all along. They didn't bother to even try to bargain through all that time. They want to squeeze the players, get right to the very end, squeeze the players, threaten to take money away from their paychecks in order to get the deal that they want. It's pretty transparent what they're doing. And if I got to pick a side, I'm sorry. I'm taking the players' side in this.
Yeah, especially since the owners didn't have to lock him out.
No.
And, you know, but you're right. Then where is the player's sense of urgency to do a deal? I mean, for whatever reason, you tell me this, Keith, why are the players feel that they have been abused by the owners? Salaries are up so much. There are more franchises that are losing money baseball-wise for the salaries that they pay versus what they take in. And if it weren't for the TV rights, they would be so underwater that franchises would be closed.
Yeah.
So, you know, the players are going to have to take a look around in some of their stadiums like Comerica Park and go, where are the fans?
That's all true. That's all true.
I'm just saying, you know, when Tony Clark gets up there and goes, you don't have a product without us. Well, you don't have a product without the fans.
That's exactly right. Yeah. We're the ones who are getting screwed in this whole deal.
You know,
and
as
all
always.
they're going to come to an agreement at some point, and the players are going to make more money, and the owners are going to be happy. And what are they going to do?
We're heading into a recession.
Yeah.
Okay.
We are.
So you know, and the players have better take a hard look at it as long as the owners. Okay. So the owners are going to have to raise salaries, and we've talked ad nauseum.
Yep.
About how hard it is to take a family to a baseball
game.
That's
right. Yeah. That's right. That's right. All they do is pass along the cost onto the fans, and it's getting too expensive to go to a baseball game.
When it costs $250 just to walk, you know, with parking and walking into the stadium.
Yep.
I'm sorry. You know, I'm lucky I got my press pass.
Couldn't agree more. Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more. Yeah. I wouldn't pay, you know, $80 to see a baseball game.
No.
I won't do it.
Right.
No.
All right, when we come back here, we'll have a quick wrap-up and slide into the Fick and Sons High School Sports Game Show when we return on Friday Face-Off. But you can add a little excitement to your sports-watching experience to make every moment more by betting on all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook. There are lots of reasons why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. The app is simple to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets, unique, fun bet types like same-game parlays, and exclusive always-on promotions like enhanced odds on the biggest events.
FanDuel lets you get more action out of every game day. Right now, you can place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Just place a bet on any game, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 in site credit if you don't win. What are you waiting for? Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started and sign up with the promo code WGRY so they know I sent you.
21 plus and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
Back after these on Up North Sports Radio, Friday Face-Off. I beg your pardon, Rich? Jesus, what did you have for dinner?
Whoa, Nelly, that.
Chili.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Friday Fumes here in our studio. Jerry Coyne along with Keith Gabe and Rich Calkins. And, guys, we only have a couple minutes, so, Keith, slide in your get the soapbox.
Just, you know, not really a soapbox, JC. Just want to kind of complete the Game On segment. Talk about a great weekend of college basketball on Sunday. Number 15 Illinois at Michigan at 2 p.m. Then we got number 22 Ohio State at Maryland. Should be a pretty good game. And then Indiana Minnesota will be a good game too. Good Big Ten games on Sunday.
No, there's a ton more games than that. You know, I get this question all the time, guys, and I've actually had it from you before, Keith. JC, do you watch professional basketball anymore? You know, I can't stand, you know, they don't work hard, blah, blah, blah. You know, the NBA is as good as I've seen it in a long time. You've got a lot of young, good players.
Right.
You know, the Ja Morants of the world, DeMar DeRozan, what the Cleveland Cavaliers put down. I think actually this trade that happened between the Nets and the Sixers is going to be great for basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, tune in for a little bit and watch some professional basketball. I think you might change your minds about it.
And I you know, JC, what did we talk about sort of early in the season, late last season, about Dwayne Casey's young Pistons team, about how much they seem to like playing for one another and so on. I hope I'm going to be watching more of the Pistons down the stretch here and trying to see more of that, because I like to see young teams developing, and that's what we're seeing in Detroit. It may take a little while still. They're going to get a good player in the draft, but if they can get to playing like we saw them play in stretches last year and early this year, something special is happening in Detroit, I think.
Yeah, I agree, and it's carrying over, too, I believe, to you can say the same thing about the youthfulness of the Red Wings coming up, the kids there, the Tigers, you know. Three of these teams here are very young, and they're up and coming.
And where's all the excitement in the NFL? Well, the Detroit Lions are getting a lot of love around the league, and especially in Detroit. They were 3-13-1, and people suddenly fell in love with this team.
They did.
So we got a lot of good sports to look forward to.
Personally, I think we've gone through the worst of it.
We have, and now all of these teams,
and I think they're all on the uptick right now.
Yeah, you're getting some interesting, just very briefly, you're getting a little bit of a different spin, Rich, for the Lions mock drafts. You know, now some people are saying they're not going to take Hutchinson.
Yeah, that safety, Hamilton kid. He's a great player himself.
I didn't see Hamilton play that much. If you're going to get a player like that, I'd go, you know, I know N'Kobe Dean, they've got him way down the draft pick, but I've seen that kid perform. You know, when you got a guy on the field that can do a ton of things, like the kid from Dallas, from Penn State.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, that's the kind of player.
He had an incredible year.
Yeah, obviously Hutchinson can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, the Lions do need to put pressure on the pass, so they've got some interesting options. But now I'm seeing mock drafts where the Lions aren't taking a quarterback with that second pick at the end of the draft, which I don't think they should.
No, that's what was my question. They got two picks in the first round, 2 and 32, right?
Yes.
No names, but what positions are you looking for them to add with those two first-round picks?
Well, you know, there's some safeties they can get at the end of the draft. You know, their strategy is going to be interesting.
Right.
Like I said, you know, there's a lot of people like, yeah, Aiden Hutchinson, U of M, blah, blah, blah. You know, maybe not.
Right.
You know, I think those first two picks need to be defensive unless they get, like Olave drops to there or someplace else, because they got to get a great wide receiver.
That's my point. They need the best defensive player available with the second pick, and at 32 they need a wide receiver.
Well, and they have 34.
And they have number 35. Yeah, right. Exactly.
They got three picks in the top 35.
That's my
thing about taking a quarterback. Don't take a quarterback just to take a quarterback.
If you don't
think he's the guy, then why would you draft him? That high of a pick that can be a difference maker at the receiver, at the defensive positions.
You've got to give Goff something to throw to.
Yes. He had the worst receiving corps in all of the NFL.
And even Brad Holmes said, look, the quarterback is not our problem. You know, we haven't given Goff a chance to show us what he can do. Let's give the guy a chance first before we go out and draft a guy to replace him.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to draft a quarterback
at
all.
You know, maybe Landry will show up as a free agent. There's going to be some free agent receivers. Draft one, bring in another one. Make the offense, you know, they can run the ball. If you could throw over the middle and move the ball. I mean, look at Goff had some really great drives to tie and win football games with an inadequate offense. I mean, if Amon St. Rahm didn't turn in to be a pretty reliable receiver, what the hell would they have done?
Oh, it would have been horrible.
I mean,
right.
The only guy is Hockenson.
And Goff played so much the last four or five games. He played really well.
JC, we're 2 weeks out from the Super Bowl. Can you tell we missed football already?
Hey, and the scouting combine, JC, starts Monday for interviews. And you know what? My wife is going to Indy on Monday to stay there. I could have jumped on her room and board, and if we could have just got the press passes, and we could have just...
Well, I could probably get your press pass.
Yeah, unfortunately, I got construction.
Very briefly, guys, Saturday is reserved for college basketball. Mm-hmm. You don't see a lot of NBA on TV, and Sunday is for the NBA.
Right.
On Sunday, okay, you've got at 3:30 Utah playing the Phoenix Suns. And then at 7:30, you've got the Dallas Mavericks versus Golden State. Those are two really good basketball games.
Yeah, no doubt about it, because, again, they were obviously the NBA was really hoping to have the Lakers front and center through this year. And right now, of course, they're like four games below 500. They have struggled mightily. And with Anthony Davis out another, 4 weeks or so, they're really hurting for sure. The Russell Westbrook experiment hasn't worked out so well. You love the guy's energy, but man.
It's not his fault. It's not his fault.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It was just, I didn't think it was a good fit.
It was a horrible idea, but it was LeBron James' idea. So
it was. Look in the mirror. He's got to take ownership.
All right, it is time for the Fick and Sons High School Sportscape Show. Fick and Sons proudly supports all Northern Michigan student athletes. For all your propane needs, contact Fick and Sons, local, competitive, reliable, fickandsons.com. Jerry Coyne and Rich Calkins in studio, and James Cook from the Traverse City Record Eagle joining us. Good morning, James. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Well, we're excited as we round down to the end of the regular season in girls and boys high school basketball.
Yeah, it's a big slate tonight. There's a lot of good games, a lot of good matchups. You've got some playoff games. You've got the hockey game between the Bay Reps and Traverse City West tonight at 6:00 at Center Ice. That's almost always a good game. It seems about half the time that those two play in the playoffs, the games go into overtime. So that's always a really good game. And then there's a whole bunch of basketball going on today too as well. You got Gaylord in wrestling is in the Division II team state finals this afternoon in a match against Monroe Jefferson. And you got the matchups of the Big Four teams in the Big North Conference that are all tied for first place at 6-3. Yeah. And they're all four of them are playing against each other tonight, with Petoskey against Traverse City Central and then Cadillac against Traverse City West at the same time.
Yeah, James, Rich Calkins here. This is, what an incredible last regularly scheduled games in conference play here in the Big North. When is the last time, can you remember a time where four teams were tied for first place going into the last game of the season?
Not four, no. I mean, it's just been crazy. I mean, sometimes you see a three-way tie for first place, that's not even very common. This is a very unusual thing to happen in the Big North Conference, where you've got those four teams that are all 6-3 in the league, all playing each other on the same Friday night towards the end of the season. So that's gonna go a long way in determining who this championship is. I mean, you've got a whole bunch of other good games going on tonight too. I mean, those four kind of stand out, those four teams, just because of the circumstance and their conference standings. But you've got some good matchups. So you got Glen Lake and Benzie Central. You know, Glen Lake beat Benzie last time, and so Benzie's at home this time, looking to avenge that loss. You got some pretty good girls basketball games too. Elk Rapids at Lake Leelanau St. Mary is a matchup of two really good teams that are getting votes in the Associated Press polls. You've got the North Bay Buckley doubleheader tonight for boys and girls. They're doing a fundraiser for it's a green game instead of a pink game. It's a green game. It's to raise awareness and money for kidney disease for the parent of a player in the Buckley basketball program.
Oh, well, that's very cool. I had not heard that before. But like you mentioned, again, in the Big North, you know, for Cadillac, TC West, again, that game being played at TC West, we will have that on 106.3 tonight. So that's an incredible matchup. And then also, like you said, Central and Petoskey, the other two teams tied for first place. It's just absolutely, you just couldn't have drawn it up on a board any better than the last regular season games to come down to this.
Yeah, because most of these teams next week is, you know, preparing for districts, so it's all non-conference type of stuff. So you're looking at best case scenario, you're most likely going to have co-champions here in the Big North. So it's a matter of what two teams can win tonight and kind of share that championship.
Yeah, and like you mentioned also, James, you know, a battle of ranked opponents. Glen Lake travels over to Benzie Central to take them on, and that should always be a great game.
Yeah, and that Benzie was undefeated last time they played, and Glen Lake was able to get them at home in Glen Lake, and now they're kind of the table to turn. Benzie's hoping to avenge that loss. You know, you've got Elk Rapids and Lake Leelanau St. Mary, and the girls' side is a really good game.
You know, I talked
well.
Go ahead, James.
Yeah, Elk Rapids against Lake Leelanau St. Mary's are a really good matchup as well. Lake Leelanau St. Mary girls are playing pretty well. You know, they played St. Francis last week, and the result didn't come out the way they wanted. But you know, that's Division III versus Division IV matchup, which is the same thing with Elk Rapids against them. But that whole district that has Elk Rapids, Corn Lake, and St. Francis for girls basketball and for boys, both of those districts are going to be potentially incredible to watch.
Going back to the game that you're going to do, Rich, tonight between West and Cadillac, Cole Genema, when the TC West played him before, did not play. So
he did not.
it's senior night for TC West. I went into a few businesses that are sponsors of our broadcast down there, and people are excited for this basketball game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Like you said, we were able to steal one from Cadillac down on their home court. And like you said, Genema was out because of COVID restrictions and things, but he's healthy now.
But he hasn't been the tonic for everything. They've suffered a couple of losses, and so I know how excited you are to see him play. If I wasn't in the studio until 6:30 myself, I would go to that game.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And remember, Coach, they rely on sophomores and freshmen to play quality minutes. And maybe, again, without seeing them play, some of these losses, you know, when you have those youthful kids on that lack that experience, times you're going to take some L's occasionally, but with the hopes of now towards the end of the season that it's all coming to fruition.
Well, and you know either you're going to get a heavy dose of pressure. I know every game they've been adding more and more of the press that we anticipated a long time ago. So especially if you want to keep the ball out of Genema's hands,
right,
getting the guards bottled up, 10-second calls and things like that are going to be the order of the day.
Exactly. And a guy like Will Gaston, who's 6'4", is really going to, you know, have his hands full matching up with 6'9 Genema. And, you know, Gaston's got that leaping ability, and he's going to have to stay out of foul trouble.
Just briefly, guys, you got boys bowling regionals, Gladstone at Gaylord. I didn't want to forget about that.
That's right. Let the pins fall.
That's right.
But James had mentioned, you know, Gaylord, they are, you know, going for a team state championship in wrestling.
Yeah.
Also, Pine River is another team in the area, James, that's going for a potential state championship. They have to play the number one or wrestle the number one seed, but it's an uphill battle. But that's a team that's had a great year again.
Yeah, that's a team that kind of surprised me. I saw them in a match earlier this season. When they matched, they had a tri-meet at Kingsley, and Kingsley handled them pretty well. So I'm going to guess that maybe they were down some wrestlers that day with COVID or other issues or something like that, because that match wasn't even close, but Kingsley didn't get out of its regional, but Pine River did.
Just briefly, guys, Fick & Sons is your local, competitive, and reliable propane provider, but there's so much more. Home and commercial heating fuel, you can call them up and get on their delivery charts. Visit Charlie's Country Corner on I-75 at 4 Mile Road for Arby's, a convenience store with everything from coffee to car accessories, Super 8 Motel by Wyndham, a full-service diesel garage. Visit Fick & Sons in Roscommon at the Sunny Spot Fuel and Convenience Store, or at M72 at the Bear Lakes Marathon and Convenience Store, and, of course, Lincoln Marathon for fuel, propane cylinder refills and exchanges, off-road diesel, and a deli coming soon. Find out what Fick & Sons has near you at fickandsons.com. Just briefly, Gaylord has a very rich wrestling tradition.
Oh, yeah, Coach LaJoy does an amazing
job. Jerry LaJoy, yeah, no doubt about it. He's got kids from St. Mary's and Joburg and everything else. So they run a really good program.
And on a personal note, two of his kids wrestle for Cornell.
Oh, really? So
yes. Yeah, and Cornell is a tradition-rich program as well. So they, so on the personal side, Coach LaJoy is really proud of two of his boys there, too.
James, we had a little earlier on today, Zach Root, who is the captain of Team Police. You've got Guns and Hoses on Saturday. I don't know if that's on your schedule or not.
I mean, it's kind of an exhibition game. It's a very fun thing, and I've heard it's a great time. But, you know, I'll be at the Reps TC West game at Center Ice tonight.
Right.
So that'll allot my time for being at Center Ice in one weekend, maybe. But that Reps West game has the potential to be a really good one, too. I mean, like I said, those two teams always seem to play close when they meet in the playoffs. It's it's even tougher than when they play in the regular season. Back in, I think it was 2014, I covered that game in the playoffs, and it ended up being 7 overtimes.
Wow. Holy cow.
It was the second longest game in Michigan history behind the Marquette state final. I think it was Marquette or Sault Ste. Marie, one of those UP teams that was in a state final game around that same sort of time. It went to 8 overtimes. And that game was in the state championship, the Marquette or Sioux one, and the MHSAA just called the game after 8 overtimes and said, "You're both state champions. We have other games we need to play at this site." But that 7 overtime Reps West game was just crazy. I mean, it didn't get over until after 11 o'clock.
Crazy.
It just kept going on and on and on, and just a great game.
Yeah. Now, James, who's in charge of covering the West Cadillac game tonight?
You know, I'm not sure who's going where. I mean, I'm going to the hockey game.
Right.
And so that's what I've got my blinders on that.
Okay.
And then this weekend, I've got a story coming out about high school referees and how kind of it's been even kind of more challenging this year with declining numbers of high school referees, and kind of been worsened a little bit by, you know, so many games being moved around. You know, weather is a kind of a normal thing, but then all these games being moved around because of COVID outbreaks and things like that has made scheduling even harder. And with the lack of referees, it's made a lot more games being played on Saturday nights and Monday nights on short notice.
I didn't see it on the schedule. I always take a quick eye at the St. Mary's girls basketball. They're not playing till Saturday at Forest Area, so as they continue their to stay in the top 10 in their division.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Again, we talk about tradition-rich programs, and the St. Mary's girls is right up there.
Yeah, I'd just like to see them just one breakthrough and get a state championship. It's been so long since they're always, you know, sometimes they're flirting with the quarterfinals and stuff.
Right.
But it would just be so cool to see them bring home a title.
Well, yeah, they're 17-2 right now. And on the positive side, St. Ignace is a Division III team this year. So they're a division up, so they won't be matching up with the St. Mary's girls. So that's a good thing. But
they'd have Leelanau, St. Mary's.
Posen is 8 or 12-1, and they're number 8, and as long with Pickford as well in the eastern part of the UP. So there's still good teams in that Division IV classification in girls basketball.
James, we don't talk about the girls quite as much. Who's the best gals team you've seen this year?
I guess it depends on level. I mean, the best one has been Glen Lake, I think, consistently all season. They finished off an undefeated season last night with a 50-point win over Benzie Central. So I think you're talking about Glen Lake and then kind of everybody else, but there's some other pretty good teams right behind them. I mean, St. Francis has been impressive this season. Elk Rapids has been impressive this season, and all three of those schools happen to be in the same district.
Uh-huh.
And so that's going to be just a pretty incredible draw there. You know, and Gaylord St. Mary's one of those teams that that they can, if those three-pointers are falling and they take a lot of them, they could beat anybody.
Yeah, I don't know if you have it. You're really good at this, but who is in TC West's district?
Oh, what do we have? I think we have Petoskey Central.
Central and West in the same district?
Yeah.
All that kind of.
Yeah.
It's
like a Big North matchup again.
That's so dumb. Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that. I didn't think they would do that.
Yeah.
You know. You got to spin one of those teams somewhere else. But, you know.
Yeah, just kind of geographically, I think they kind of have to. But, you know, it's usually the way it ends up happening. But, yeah, it essentially ends up becoming pretty much a Big North Conference postseason tournament.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
And there's also Marquette thrown in there. So
it
literally is all the Big North Conference teams aside from Cadillac, which is in Division II, and then Marquette.
Okay. Well, thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah.
I know we were talking off air about, you know, are we going to cover some of the girls and everything else, and it gets difficult to figure out depending on where they play out of.
It does. Exactly. Yeah.
Same thing with you, James. You got to figure out where you're driving.
Yeah. The West girls open up the districts against Petoskey on Monday at home.
Yeah, the league leading Petoskey, the Lady Northman. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to figure out if we're going to do that game or not. Well, that'll be a meeting not above my pay grade.
No. You will make the call.
Yes. All right, James, anything else you want to touch on before we let you go?
No, it should be good.
All right.
Covered quite a bit of ground.
We'll be diving into the Record Eagle tomorrow for all the scores when we do our high school scoreboard show at 10 o'clock here on Friday on Up North Sports Radio.
Sounds good.
All right.
Thank you, James.
Yeah, James Cook from Traverse City Record Eagle. So, yeah, we're heading into the busy part of the year, Rich.
No question. No shortage of high school entertainment around the North this weekend, JC.
Yes, and you're easily entertained.
Yeah, I am. Yes, ask my wife. I am.
Thanks for tuning in to the Fick and Sons High School Sportscape Show on Up North Sports Radio. Remember, for all your propane needs, contact Fick and Sons, local, competitive, reliable. Check them out at fickandsons.com. And you can catch Rich and I here with the wrap-up tomorrow on the Bill Marsh Scoreboard Show. That's at 10 o'clock here on Up North Sports Radio. Until then, good sports to you all.